Now to your emails. We got some criticism about my interview yesterday with Republican Congressman Pete Hoekstra. Hoekstra is a strong opponent of Attorney General Eric Holder's plans to investigate whether laws were broken with the CIA's harsh interrogations.
Well, Joe Lynn Hamelman of Richmond, Virginia, channels what many of you wrote. You have lost me as a listener after that horrendous one-sided interview regarding torture with Peter Hoekstra. She adds parenthetically, why NPR can't say the word torture is also an issue, and she goes on, why wouldn't NPR at least have a member of the ACLU to respond to the lies that Hoekstra spewed?
But the story that generated the most email from yesterday's program explored some downsides of the transition to digital TV. We heard the same reaction over and over from listeners such as Matthew Meyer of Akron, Ohio. He writes, your story on broadcasters' unkept promises during the digital TV switch missed the mark. The real story isn't the lack of content, it's the lack of a signal.
We received this personal anecdote from Michael Besch, who lives in the town of Clinton on Whidbey Island in Washington State. He writes, I worked a full year educating myself on digital conversion, spent approximately $300 on two converter boxes and two new antennas, only to find out on the day of conversion that I went from 11 analog channels to 3 digital channels. I could only get those 3 channels in the morning most days, and when there was no wind blowing around my house. Mr. Besch concludes, my current television is now marked for my upcoming garage sale, cheap at $50.
And finally, we heard from Lovers of Cold about my interview with Bill Strever, author of the book called Cold. Paul Fuller of Stewartstown, Pennsylvania writes, at long last, a companion in cold, a brother in burr. He goes on to say, your guest Bill Strever gave me hope today that I'm not alone in my love of cold weather when he proclaimed it's gotten a bad rap. But one of you gave me a bad rap for saying at the beginning of the interview that these are the dog days of summer. James Nagel of Unionville, Connecticut writes, Melissa may have been a day late. Seems dog days vary, but usually end on or before August 24th. Well, we consulted the Oxford English Dictionary, and it turns out James Nagel does have a point. The dates of those dog days do vary, but the phrase goes back to Roman observations of the dog star, Sirius. The most common ending date is August 11th, so those dog days would be about 2 weeks past.
Well, thanks to all of you for your very close observations of our program. You can write to us by going to npr.org and clicking on Contact Us. It's at the bottom of the page.